Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Connor Newton here with you on this Friday morning. Talking Nashville Predators. And to help us do that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Jim Diamond to the program from the Associated Press. Jim has to put up with me every night at the home games as well, so that's a tough task to do. Jim, how we doing? What's going on?
Oh, man, this soon after having the best media room coffee in the NHL, I couldn't be doing any better this morning.
That media room coffee is freaking unbelievable. Shout out to Tiffany, who takes care of us every night there at Bridgestone Arena. Also, Jim, the biggest Siena basketball fan that I know. How much was your heart pounding when they almost took down Duke last week?
Oh, gosh, that was a struggle. I felt like I couldn't breathe at times. It was a really impressive performance. The Siena program has been down for quite a while, so it was nice to see the revival that Jerry McNamara brought to the program in his 2 years there. And I know we would have liked a different result, but it's hard to be mad at them for that kind of effort.
Do you still like Fran McCaffrey?
Oh, I love Fran McCaffrey. How could I not? Is there a chance he can come back to Siena? Is he still
bad? I mean, he got fired at Iowa, went to Penn. He might get fired at Penn and go back to Siena.
Be awesome.
I think, yeah, we could use him. He did really well there, and I believe, I don't know if it's still true, but his son is dating Caitlin Clark. So little bit of trivia there. Siena connected everything, really.
So yeah, Connor, right? Connor and I think they've been together for a long time. They might be married at this point, right? I don't know.
Who knows? But if he's got that type of connection to Siena, he can't be a bad guy.
That's right. That's right. So, Jim, obviously a tough loss last night for the Preds, and they got a back-to-back coming up this weekend against two really good teams from the East. We played some of Steven Stamkos' comments earlier in the hour. Look, I didn't think the Predators were all that good last night, so, they probably end up losing that game anyway. But maybe they get to overtime. Maybe they pick up a point. When you get to overtime, you never know. So, I thought the call on Matt Wood specifically was just really soft at that point in the game. What did you make of kind of the officiating and the calls that went against the Predators in the third period last night?
Yeah, I mean, there's worse, contact in church league basketball where you don't need to, apologize to the other guy or to Jesus for, on that Wood penalty. So the game was pretty, clean, I thought, overall. There weren't a lot of calls or questionable calls that could have gone either way. So at that point in the game, I think you to quote your friend Taylor Swift, let the players play. Especially something that soft in the neutral zone didn't cause a turnover or take away a scoring chance. I think the Svechkov penalty right before it may have looked like a penalty on the ice at the time to the officials. I don't think it was. I think it was just kind of a stick on stick, and Hughes tried to lift his leg and get out of the way and kind of went down. But I'm a big defender of the officials. You know this, Rob. You hear it every game.
I do.
So I don't like those calls at that point in the game.
So how do you view just this run here, Jim, from this team, beyond just the just constant argument in this town of the whole, you have to blow it up and all this stuff and sick of being in the middle. Still, like, this team, I would not have guessed at all that this team was going to do what it's doing now. I know that they've had other late season runs, but I guess how does this one strike you and maybe even compare in terms of surprise to some of the other ones we've seen?
It's really surprising considering, it wasn't that long ago that they were the worst team in the NHL, points-wise, and I think everyone who looked at them thought they were better than that, maybe not a whole lot better, but to see what they've done in that time is pretty impressive with a, I'll call it a semi-flawed roster, but, they're getting contributions from the players that they need contributions from to be successful at this point, and it is improbable that this run and for them to be in this, shouting distance of a playoff spot here with what 10 games left. So it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be, a fun run here for the next 10 games to see what happens. But I don't think a lot of us saw this coming.
Well, and you've got LA that won last night, Seattle won last night. But prior to that, I mean, everybody around them, whether it's LA or Seattle or San Jose, had been losing. I mean, Utah hadn't been playing all that great either. So, the loss last night, if you're the Preds, hurts. But you've got LA coming up twice in that weird scheduling thing where they're going from LA to San Jose, back to LA. And then Utah can't really seem to gather much momentum right now. And Jim, we've talked about this, like the difference between wild card one and wild card two. Some years it doesn't really matter. This year on the surface, it seems to matter a lot. How do you describe the difference between Colorado or maybe Anaheim in the first round?
Yeah, no, I think to quote Daryl Sutter from many years ago, if you're playing Colorado, it's a waste of 8 days, and it was for the Predators back then when that happened. But yeah, the Pacific is just a mess. It's kind of amusing to see how they're all performing, underperforming. Who could drop out, and if they fall out of the top three, they might not even be a wild card. But it's an interesting race, and you mentioned those. I know there are a lot of other moving parts, but those two games at LA in the span of what, 4 or 5 days, I think are really going to determine who gets the wild card. If the Predators can take both of those by some chance, I think that really I don't know the math or the fancy stats behind it, but I think that basically gets them in if they can handle those games and everything falls out the way they have been lately.
Jim, what's Matthew Wood going to be in the next few years for the Nashville Predators?
I like him. I think, what was it, Tuesday night, he comes down on a 2-on-1 with Philip Forsberg and just wires a shot top shelf far side. Like, that takes guts for a 21-year-old to come down with one of the better goal scorers in the NHL, in the last, decade plus, and has the confidence to just take that shot and shoot it. And I like the way that Brunette, Trotz, and company kind of eased him in a little bit into the NHL on the wing. He just turned 21, I think, a month ago. So he's still very young, even though he has had 3 years of college. Most college hockey players start at 20 or 21. So he's pretty young, but I really like everything I've seen from him, the confidence he shows on the ice, and he just looks like he belongs out there.
So, Jim, you've been around for all of it. I mean, you've seen this franchise go from an expansion team, and no, that's not me calling you old, going from an expansion team to what they are now. They've had two general managers in the history of the franchise. They're about to hire a third here. How do you kind of view where they are right now as a franchise with, Barry Trotz stepping in? I think everybody was excited when he took the job. It's not gone according to plan for the most part since then. And now an opportunity maybe to go hire an outside general manager for the first time in the history of the franchise. So how do you view kind of the next couple of weeks here, playoffs aside, with that decision looming here on the franchise?
Yeah, I mean, I think, let's be realistic. If they make the playoffs, I don't probably think they're going very far. So I think the next general manager hire is going to be enormous, because, like you said, like I said before, the roster isn't particularly great from a long-term perspective. They got some aging veterans, all 30 plus. Couple of young guys who maybe show some promise, a ton of draft picks, but those take a while. So I'm curious. I feel like they're going outside for this hire. I don't have any insider information, but I think there's going to be probably a much, different perspective, different set of eyes and hands controlling this franchise here. I know they said they'd like to have somebody in place by the draft, but that comes around pretty quickly. So we shall see what that presents. But I feel like there's going to be probably some new blood in the franchise, and there could be some, drastic changes as much as somebody can, with a roster with several players with trade protection, and some younger guys who really, Wood aside probably, or Evangelista aside, haven't really proven themselves much on the NHL level so far.
If you were the hire, and by the way, I think you should be a candidate, give me
Thank
the
you, Joe.
sweeping, yeah, absolutely. Give me the sweeping synopsis of what you would do. If I have to sum up, like I'm looking at this team in a couple sentences, this is what needs to be done.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great Great question, and I don't know if it's the easiest thing to do because, like we said before, that there's players with trade protection who don't have to go anywhere if they don't want to. It's very difficult to add, you know, much of experience wise. They do have a good amount of salary cap room here after this season going forward. So I think I've bandied about with Rob in the press box that, you know, hey, take a big swing and try to sign, you know, maybe like a Jason Robertson from Dallas to an offer sheet or something like that, a younger star player, you know, maybe on one of those teams that that is pressed for the salary cap and does have a bunch of talent on there. But they got to do something to kind of shake up where they are, because it's just not happening. You know, they're good enough to, you know, be in the playoff conversation, but you know, not do anything in the playoffs or compete for a cup. So there's a lot that can be done. It's just not easy to do.
Yeah, Jim's been banging the Jason Robertson drum, and he's got me on board.
Like, I don't hate it.
Dallas is going to have a hard time paying everybody, and that would be quite something. Jimmy, great stuff as always, brother. Appreciate you waking up early, taking time to be with us this morning, and I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, guys. Take care.
Yep, Jim Diamond, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, does an outstanding job covering the Nashville Predators, a longtime veteran. I want to see how many different ways I can call Jim old before this segment ends.
He's venerable. That's another good way. Also, he also is doing a little SEC hoops coverage too.
Yeah, he's versatile.
Well, hoops guy. Hoops guy, Jim Diamond.
Versatile Jim Diamond.
We'll have versatile and venerable.
That's right. Rob Rant coming up next. Teron Davenport with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.